Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Ian Verdun, who's currently one of the leads for Freeform Siren. Welcome, Ian.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
I should tell you that I was hooked on Siren from the very beginning, and it surprises me that I am more intrigued by your character, Xander's journey, than Ben's journey.
Thank you for that. But I can't take full credit. That's okay. They're writers, too.
Yeah, I was like, and I'm surprised. I'm like, the writers are totally making us hooked on Xander. What's going on here?
I love it. I think it's like, I feel like it's, you know, it's an opportunity to really explore more humanity through like this whole supernatural, the supernatural field, the supernatural genre. It's nice to kind of comment on our most human instincts. And I kind of feel like Xander kind of represented that. So that was awesome to be able to play.
Yeah, because I think that might be the piece I was missing, because we start out, Xander's worried about his friend who got injured, and they're searching mm-hmm. for Chris, and then they find Chris, and then Chris leaves, and then he realizes there's mermaids are real. He's trying to find the mermaid, and then that search for the mermaid, spoiler alert, leads to Xander's dad getting killed, and then Xander goes on this journey of grief and redemption and eventually rage, and then turning to, well, maybe something good can come from this. So there's an entire journey here that is you performed it so passionately that the rage was palpable when we were watching you.
Thank you so much. I mean, I personally, I think it's like, it's just when I was getting the scripts and we were talking about the character, just like very excited to be able to go on the journey, you know, because it is something incredibly emotional, incredibly raw. And I just wanted to just go there in every possible way. I was like, this is the most extreme situation that any person could really be in, you know, it's like, this is so extreme. If this were very real, and if this was something that were happening in a real world, like how would a real person react, you know? And you would make impulsive decisions, and that's the thing that I also love, like, about Xander. He's all heart, and he's super loyal, and he's super sincere. But you know, he's brash, you know, and he's impulsive, and he's emotional, and he just runs with it. And it gets him into trouble sometimes, but sometimes it saves his friends, and sometimes it harms people, and it just leads to, you know, his good qualities also being his, like, a double-edged sword, you know, they're also his, like, worst instincts at the same time. So, like, to be able to go on a journey with him, and something that seemed, like, really kind of innocuous and very kind of small and a kind of a slow burn, it was fun. It was just a lot of fun to embody and a lot of work.
So when you got cast, what were you looking forward to most about this role?
Actually just the boats. That was cool. When I first read the script, there was the whole pilot is the whole beginning of it was on a boat, and just that entire opening sequence was something that just sparked my imagination so, like, specifically. And, like, I was actually just visually just, like, really excited to just get out there and do it. And again, double-edged sword, it was a lot of fun, but again, like, so much work and very wet and very cold. But but I think, like, just the results of it and just being on it, you just feel like a kid, you know. You're able to, I mean, I don't know if you're like me, like I was and still am, I just it's my job now, like, just a kid that existed in his imagination, and, you know, going out and turning the woods into, you know, some fantastical forest or something, you know, just living in your imagination. And so just to be able to kind of continue to be able to do stuff like that as an adult and create, like, some fantastical world that other people can take part in and feel passionate about and start to care about these characters. All of it. I look forward to all of it.
So are you a big sci-fi fantasy fan?
Almost certainly, definitely. Since I was a wee babe, since I was a little kid, I was like, you know, I was all about like Buffy the Vampire Slayer when I was like 11 years old. So just like any kind of genre, space, vampires, witches, like, all of it. I was very drawn to, and I enjoyed mermaids too. Like one of my favorite movies as a kid growing up was Hook. And it's like one of those sequences that kind of sticks in your memory is like when Peter goes to Neverland and the mermaids save him. And so it was just kind of like, you know, in my like popular memory, like mermaids have always been like, and I feel like for everybody, everybody's got the Little Mermaid, you know, these are big like cultural creatures. Like they're kind of like, I don't know, they're monolithic. So to be able to kind of redefine it and look at it from a different angle and modernize it and bring it to television, which is something that I personally was like, it'd be dope to have a show about mermaids. And to be like actually in it and a part of it is, you know, it's like my 10-year-old self is just jumping for joy.
Now the fans have really, really embraced this new take on mermaids. What have you experienced from the fan feedback? Because I know you're very active on Twitter, and during the live tweets of the episodes, you are very entertaining.
As long as it's entertaining, it doesn't seem silly, or at least the right kind of silly. The fans have been really, really very receptive, and I love how curious they are and engaged that they are. And they take a lot of this stuff. Like, it's so funny to, this is my first television show, and it's so funny to see how close people get to these characters and how close people get to the world, and how much they really feel for everyone, you know, in very different ways and for very different reasons. So like the things that I get, I mean, and I don't get very much because I'm not one of the mermaids, like Sabangle and Aileen and Sigale and Ilea, like they get a lot of the mermaid questions. But I think a lot of what people are curious about is just kind of like their culture and kind of how we're setting up this world, because I feel like it's opening up people's imaginations in terms of like how these creatures would exist, again, like in a modern world. So to be able to explore them in a modern sense, like how we think of culture and how we think of the ocean and how what our perspectives are with the problems and the opportunities that we are experiencing in our time, to kind of like transpose that on this like, you know, this ancient creature. So it's like it's I think not only is it something that just kind of brightens people's imaginations towards, you know, what mermaids could be and what they mean for our time, it's also, like I said, it's like it's such a great study on who we are as a human society, and, you know, how we treat new cultures and perspectives, and how, you know, just new cultures meeting each other and how their perspectives, depending on how they were treated, can completely color your entire view of a world and of a different culture. So to like be able to touch on those kind of really big cultural axioms, these big moments, and at the same time like engage people's fantastical imaginations, I think it's like it speaks to people. I mean, it speaks to me, so I can speak for myself.
Excellent. The just the descriptions of the tensions between the mermaid world and Bristol Cove going back centuries is fascinating, and that little bit of history just adds so much richness to Bristol Cove. I can't wait to see how the writers expand on that for season two, because yes, there is a season two.
Yes, I know, right? We were waiting just like everybody else. So if it's any consolation, we knew nothing just as long as everybody else knew nothing.
We as fans are relieved, and I'm glad you guys are happy too. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
Now, are you going to be joining the mermaids when they go out to like conventions and other promotions this during, you know, until next production season starts?
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, like that's kind of like one of the coolest things, and we've all actually talked about it. You know, being able to engage with the fan base when you're part of these shows, when you're part of a genre shows that have these big, you know, very devoted and very loving fan bases. You know, I think it's like I personally just would love to go out there and meet. And I'm, like I said, like conventions and like we went to Comic-Con last year. It's just, I felt at home, you know, because I'm a big nerd. Like I just like always was. I was always into comic books and these worlds. And, I want to be able to give back just as much as I enjoyed and the things that inspired me to be where I am right now. So of course, yeah, I want to be there with the ladies and the gentlemen.
Now, what you meant being a big comics book nerd, a big fan nerd, what is your impressions of all the superhero movies the past, I don't know, 10 years, just taking up so much of everyone's mental space?
I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, and as a fan, like, I remember when the first X-Men movie came out, like, I'd been watching all those movies, like, and, you know, the Batman movies have been coming out since the 80s, and so when the X-Men movies came out, because that was my favorite comic book, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. my God, yes, and then that just kind of kicked off this entire renaissance that we've seen over the last decade. I think it's actually really good, because those have been stories that have been around for so long that already have had such a devoted fan base, and it's nice to see it all kind of mainstreamed. I think there can be too much of a good thing sometimes, because I feel like sometimes a lot can get lost in the, you know, a lot lost in the noise. But I really think there's an opportunity now that it's become such like an ingrained part of the culture to kind of take these characters and take the idea of superheroes and take the idea of these comic book worlds and different comic books and more like there's more than just the Marvel universe. There's more than just the DC universe. There's so many comic books and there's so many stories and so many graphic novels that are out there that absolutely deserve some kind of a film treatment, because they're great character studies. You know, like the greatest movies are the ones that kind of break down these people, who they are as people and how the powers kind of affect them as people. And when you, yeah, it's all really fun and great to be like space hopping and, you know, lasers and all that other stuff. It's, you know, fun and visually very stunning, but, you know, what keeps you coming back is character. So, so, you know, I'm all about it. I just want to hopefully, because I write as well, and also I'm a nerd. So like, hopefully, you know, moving forward, you know, I can do my part to see like where I would love to see that genre move and be able to get more introspective, like more in the line of Logan, you know, like I freaking loved Logan when I saw Logan. I was like, yes, this is the movie I've been waiting for. Just because it the whole backstory of X-Men, the whole backstory of a lot of these comic book worlds is actually really serious. You know, there's a lot of like, these are allegories, they're like allegorical to really important, intense stuff that happened in the real world. Like, you know, X-Men is an allegory to the civil rights movement. And, you know, these are very serious, real things. And so to like treat it with that kind of dose of reality, even though everybody has powers and lasers and they can fly, is I think really interesting. So how do we move it away from just the lasers? And the lasers can be great and they don't have to go anywhere, but you know, really get into how people having lasers coming out of their faces make them like really feel and how they affect their relationships. Like that to me kind of boosts it and makes it like it always has to be a study on humanity. Even if the characters we're talking about in the show aren't human, it's got to be some kind of referendum on us, you know, so we can see ourselves in these characters.
Yeah, you mentioned other comic books, other worlds outside of our Marvel superheroes or DC superheroes. As you, who also has a hand in doing writing, producing, possibly directing, if you could choose a comic book property to produce or star in, what would it be?
You know, I've actually thought pretty long and hard about this. One of my favorite graphic novel series is Rising Stars by J. Michael Straczynski.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and it was such a good series of novels, and it was like so succinct. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end. You know, it does everything I just talked about, which, you know, it comments on the human experience, it comments on the world that we live in, and everybody still flies, and everybody still has powers, and we still have all these things. And it also has repercussions and consequences that are permanent and society changing. You know, it's not like a lot of times in the comic world, you know, this big giant event will happen, and then there'll be a reset button, and it'll be like, okay, we're back. So to, like, tell a complete story and to have something, like, really tell
bring the superhero genre kind of back closer to, I don't know, the human experience is cool. So that one, totally. Yeah. If I could get the rights on that, if I could like talk to J. Michael Straczynski, I'd be like, let's do this.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. If the gods are listening to us, please grant us this one wish that Ian Verdun gets to.
Rising Star is like a mini series. Cause this, I feel like it's too much story to do in a movie.
Oh yeah.
It's gotta be televised.
Give us like 4 seasons on Netflix. What do you think?
Yeah, right. Let's do it. Let's call that into existence right now.
I'm putting the thought out there. Get the ball rolling, you know, let the universe gather all the right energy, shoot them in the right direction. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Amazon announced last week that they're going to have Babylon 5 available for streaming for Prime customers.
That's awesome. I have to do some research because I don't know what happened to J. Michael Straczynski. I love his writing. I love Babylon 5. So it'd be nice to kind of get that voice back into genre TV. Cause I mean, he was doing genre before genre was genre TV, like what we're doing, like how we know it today. I mean, he's like one of the like Gene Roddenberry, you know, like pioneers.
Yep. He's generally gifted with the introducing the serialized story arc to science fiction television, and for that we're all thankful, because we never would have had so many other stories go that route. So
yeah, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things, like it's become a way that we feel we like actually see storytelling now. It's not like this kind of outlier in television and film. So this is the perfect time.
Excellent. Well, what else are you working on now?
I have a few things. Before I started Siren, I was working on my own show called Life's Drag, which I wrote and produced and starred in. I did not direct it. My incredibly talented friend Sebastian LaPaz was the director, and he filmed and he shot it and he edited it. Ridiculously talented. But I'm going back into that. Right, actually, it's kind of a funny story because when I was testing for Siren, like in the whole audition process, I was in the process of pitching the show that I was like, it was just like a pilot that I put together with some friends, and we spent like $1,500 on it and put it in festivals and ended up being a thing. And, you know, just kind of one thing led to another and we were pitching. So like, but I was testing and pitching at the same exact time and I ended up getting Siren. So it ended up kind of putting all of that work on hold. But now that there's like some more regularity, like, and I'm seeing what other doors can be opened for their show, I haven't like given up on it at all because it's my baby. But that's also a fun, crazy story. It's about drag queens, and it's a wild, wild tale. And I had to learn how to walk in heels in like 2 weeks, so I could dance in heels, in like full on drag. But it was like, it was crazy. It was a crazy, fun experience. And I want to go back to the character and back to the world, because that's another thing that I'm a big fan of drag as well. Like, love RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm such a big fan, been a fan for years. And that's also like a world that I really think that deserves to have narrative representation. There's so much story. There's so many amazing characters involved that, and RuPaul has done an amazing job in mainstreaming drag and bringing it up to like mainstream culture. And I think Drag Race exists in this whole other realm, but I want to kind of take it and move into a narrative space and start being able to explore things and like stories. And that's what Life's Drag is about. So I've already written the whole season, so I'm just waiting for the right time to just finish it out and get it out there. But the pilot is on YouTube right now. So if anyone wants to go to YouTube, just type in Life's a Drag and you'll see the pilot.
Cool. Well, we will include a link to that. Thank you for adding some more positive content to the world space we live in.
Of course. I mean, like, but that's like, you know, that's our job as artists, right? You know, to, and as people that have been affected as audience members, you know, like, you're going on this journey as an artist, and you know, I kind of really feel I was put on this earth to create. So, this is what I've always done, and it's what makes me happy. So, if I'm gonna pursue this as a career, I should use that ability and try and be the change that I wish to see, that I would have always wanted as a child. So, you know, the struggles that, at least in our industry, that, you know, I've had to contend with, you know, try and lessen for the next generation. So, yeah, more positive work, more representation, and more human introspective stories in spite of, you know, the lasers.
Well, I have some funny positive suggestions for you based on your tweets during the finale broadcast about Xander's tendency to hook up with everyone else's girlfriends.
It's a small town.
It is a small town, but Xander could put out a Fisherman of Bristol Cove pinup calendar. What do you think?
Oh my God, that would be so awesome. That's a great idea. That's exactly what I said. I feel that this can happen.
So the calendar can be like a background sales stream in next season, right?
Yes, done. Maybe we can get it like really made and really printed and have the sales go to some to a charity, go to Ocean Conservancy.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Well, Ian, thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
No, thank you, Summer. This is a great interview. Thank you so much. Such good questions. Thank you. You're cool. Good show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Everyone can catch Ian playing Xander McClure on Freeform Siren. It is available in its entirety, the entire first season on Hulu. Go check it out. Please go check it out because it's a fun show. The mythology.
You can wait to binge. Now's the time.
Yes. The mythology is so rich, and we only just got a small morsel of it. And I can't wait to see what comes along for season two. And hopefully for season two, we'll talk to you again.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Let's make something fun. We'll have a whole other fun set of things to talk about.
Awesome. Thank you so much again. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
I don't know, maybe it's just me, but when the actors themselves are huge fans of the genres they're acting in, it's just so much more fun to talk to them, to communicate with them on that special level that all of us geeks and nerds and sci-fi fans just kind of operate on. And the fact that he's a fan, a huge, huge fan of Straczynski's Rising Stars. Ah, I fangirled right there. Right there in the middle of the conversation. I fangirled. I try not to do that, but I did. And yeah, I'd want to see Rising Stars on a screen of some sort. And as a dream project, I hope Ian gets his shot at it. I really do. Other good news, in addition to Siren being renewed for a second season, The Expanse was canceled last week by Sci-Fi Channel, but this week it was picked up by Amazon. So Amazon is going to be producing The Expanse Season 4. We're going to get Seasons 1, 2, and 3. Well, they're already on Amazon, free for Prime users. Streaming is there and everything. So, everybody rejoice. The fact that Bezos himself made the announcement during his talk at the International Space Development Conference is just mind-blowing. During his talk, he just said, oh yeah, well, Amazon's picking up The Expanse. All of the space development, space scientists who were in in the talk went nuts. Twitter kind of went nuts as the news filtered out. And it was just a bit of joy all around for everybody. So the Expanse will continue. Siren will continue. We have, let's see, June, we see the return, I believe, of, is Winona Earp in June or July? I would have to check my files, but the next round of shows is coming back to Sci-Fi Channel. It's Winona Earp, Killjoys, and 12 Monkeys. Now, 12 Monkeys, we already know that this is their last season, and I'm curious to see how they wrap things up. Very curious, so stay tuned for that. But otherwise, that's all I have now for new shows coming up. I haven't gone over everything for what was presented at the upfronts for the fall. I'm disappointed we don't have any news on Lucifer yet. Maybe, hopefully. But I did see that the CW put out promo art for next season's Legends of Tomorrow, which has Matt Ryan as John Constantine right there smack dab in the middle of the team. So I'm happy about that. But otherwise, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call. The number is 602-635-6976. Now, I've discovered something unusual and disturbing about that phone number. As you know, Skype is now owned by Microsoft, and they've been playing, shall we say, games of attrition with the software, the app, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people, like myself, turned to Skype using a phone number assigned to our Skype account that we pay for. We pay a yearly fee for that number to use that number and get certain services one would expect from having a phone number. This is something not just me, but other podcasters jumped on in the wake of the collapse of the old K7 voicemail lines. Remember the old 206 numbers that every podcaster had? Those were digital lines run out of a little company in Seattle, in the Seattle area. And they went belly up about 5-6 years ago, maybe. And those K7 numbers disappeared back into the ether, which was fine by me because I was sick and tired of getting spam faxes on that number anyway. But, you know, like many other people, I turned to Skype, bought a phone number to go along with the Skype account, and used it to accept incoming phone calls to do interviews with. Lo and behold, we used to have a personalized voicemail greeting message on those accounts. Sometime in December or January, Microsoft decided, hey, since we're upgrading this Skype thing to work on mobile devices, we don't need that functionality. Not even on Skype for Business people, who they were pushing to be part of their Office 365 tripe. So what they did was they disabled personalized greetings on voicemail, set everybody who had a voicemail number, a voicemail message, to some default Skype greeting. So if you call that number, 602-635-6976, and you get the generic British woman saying, "The person you are trying to reach is unavailable at this time. Please leave your message after the beep." That is our number. And everybody who has a Skype number, who pays extra money for that Skype number, and who thought they were also paying for that voicemail feature that they could personalize the greeting for, well, we're getting screwed. Thank you, Microsoft. Now you have one more reason on the list why I have always hated you. Your existence on this foul plane of technological subservience, pisses me the F off. I just said that out loud, didn't I? Anyway, so what I've discovered is that a lot of people are angry at Microsoft for messing up their voicemail game. And it's not just that you have a generic voice greeting that you cannot change. Sometimes it doesn't pick up at all. The phone will ring and ring and ring, and it will go silent, and it will drop, never giving you the chance to leave a voicemail message. From testing that I've done over the past week, it's about 50-50. So if you do want to leave a message, please be patient. Wait till you hear the charming British woman's friendly voice and the tone to leave a message after. And in the meantime, I will see if I can find a Google Voice alternative to leaving voicemail messages. Unfortunately, Google Voice does not have a way for me to use it on a computer like I do Skype. I wish they would change their minds about that, because if they came out with an app that worked the way Skype used to work, they would crush Microsoft at their own game. I mean, absolutely crush them. Or, if you'd rather record your own voice message and email it to me, you can send that to summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. If it's a short message, go ahead and email me the MP3. If it's going to be bigger than 2 or 3 meg, just put it on Dropbox or Google Drive and share it to me, and I'll get it that way. But I want to make sure that people who do want to communicate with the show online with some sort of voice communications, there are alternatives. I'm even going to look in. There used to be something called SpeakPipe. I don't even know if they're around anymore, but I will look into alternative ways to leave your voice as a message for Slice of Sci-Fi and for Writers After Dark. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and Krypton Radio. You can leave a review for the show on iTunes or on Stitcher. And once I figure out if Google Play Music is going away and becoming YouTube Music, the Google link for Slice of Sci-Fi, I don't know what we're going to do with that yet, but if Google Play stays, if the podcast stays on Google Play, there will be Google Play for Slice of Sci-Fi. If not, I'll do whatever Google decides to spaghetti on the wall next with their podcast play. You can follow Slice of Sci-Fi on Twitter, @SliceofSci-Fi. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi in both locations. And of course, there's the website, sliceofscifi.com, as well as writersafterdark.com. There's a podcast over there for those of you who would like to hear me talk with sci-fi, fantasy, horror authors, novelists, people who write comic books, people who write plays and screenplays. I will be talking with them. And right now, the schedule's every other week. If I get more support and more authors who want to be on the show, it could go weekly. It could go more. We'll see how that goes. I want to thank everybody who is supporting the show. Your pledges through Patreon really do keep things going around here. Every dime is used towards keeping the shows online, keeping the media online. So thank you, everyone, for your support, your continued support. And if you're a new listener and you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. I'd also like to send a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the theme music here. They did an awesome job based on a vague description from me, and I am ever so grateful to them. If you want to check out more of their music, you can go over to sci-fried.com. And that will do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.